We are traveling through another dimension. Is a dimension as vast as all of the nightmares ever envisaged by all of humanity across all of time. It is a dimension as timeless as infinity and as thoughtless as anger turned to rage, turned to despair. It is the middle ground between hope and between having those hopes shattered before your very eyes by a cruel and unjust world that doesn't appear to feel the need at all times to adhere to your hopes and dreams, doesn't feel the need to adhere to percentages and odds to win it all. You know, it's still extremely raw. The game just ended about less than 300 seconds ago, let's say. And I'm checking with the health and safety robot. The legal robot made us hire that robot due to the many health and safety violations and various issues. Yeah, they're telling me that I can't legally be held liable for anything I say right now, as I'm not, what's the phrase? I'm not of sound mind. I don't know what that means. Is that like a cloud music service? What's of sound mind? Anyways. You know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. You kind of hitch your wagon to this star. You cheer for this team. I feel like what I can only assume it's like when you're a parent and you're watching your kids lose in a really great playoff game in sports, and you're just sitting there kind of like biting your bottom lip and just thinking to yourself like, man, this blows. Like I feel bad. They're getting outplayed by this other team who, like, you know, let's be honest, none of us are cheering for. But, you know, in lieu of just giving in to my normal playoff exit procedure of, you know, my mind leaving my body, going to kind of the astral plane for 6 to 7 months, dealing with my disappointment, you know, in a much more kind of like vision quest fashion, let's say. That's kind of putting a nice spin to it. It's really just sitting and watching YouTube and not talking to another human being for half the year. But in lieu of that, this time I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm going to give you my sober analysis of what I think just happened. And quite frankly, you know, still not really interested in criticizing the team that much. I'm not really interested in placing blame here or there. You know, I have things that I wish would have gone differently in terms of deployment, etc. But, like, who cares? Well, right now is all about just starting the process, letting the healing begin, you know? And I think a big part of letting the healing begin is admitting that, in spite of the fact that I thought there were some really dirty plays on their part, in spite of the fact that I thought there were some diving, although I will say LA outdove Vegas this playoff against us by like a wide margin, so way to go LA. Although again, I love LA, nothing against you. Heart goes out to LA as well, who experienced this very same disappointment very recently. And the officiating, I would say, there were a few well-officiated games, I would say, in this series, but they were the minority of games, and I think there were issues across the board. You know, I don't think there's any kind of, like, conspiracy or any of that shit. It's just kind of the system struggling to officiate the game effectively with the tools that it has. And, you know, the individual refs, all the individual people working officially, like, I'm sure they're all doing their best, but I don't think they're being given the tools to do the job well, really. I think the game is still being officiated with kind of horse and buggy level technology, you know? Like, it's like that train that blew up in East Palestine, Ohio, in a plume of chemical toxicity, was using, like, Civil War era brake technology. Because, you know, why would you use new brakes? I mean, Civil War was awesome. We all remember the Civil War. I'm sure the brake technology from the Civil War is great, and I'm sure the way the game is officiated right now is fine. I'm not really going to go on. I mean, I've gone on about that shit more than most, and I don't want to give this impression. Like, I'm definitely throwing red meat, probably, to a lot of people who want to talk shit about the officiating. So that's kind of, like, unfortunate, I suppose, because I think my criticism is just more of an institutional one. And, you know, that took away from the series in some ways, and it takes away from the game in general. Like, the Ekholm high stick, you know, he's bleeding profusely from the face, you know. I mean, the Oilers' power play has been kind of neutered the last few games as well, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but, you know, doesn't really add to the enjoyment of things. But I will say, you know, in spite of the fact that I think, you know, I had the, in addition to what I've said up to this point, I will say Vegas played a really good series. Besides all that, you know, they had their second goalie come in. He played well for them. The team played really well 5-on-5. They were the better team in the second period, it seemed like, every game. They were closing games down. Like, they got, like, they didn't always start with a lead. In fact, they came back, I think, almost every game, if I'm not mistaken. But they, when they got the lead, they were able to shut it down. And really, I think a big story at the end of this series here is the last two or three games, especially the last two games, but the last two or three games, the Vegas penalty kill was really, really fucking amazing. Like, it was really a sight to behold because the Oilers' power play itself is so powerful, greatest power play in history, but like, and what a great storyline, what great bulletin board material for the Vegas Golden Knights at that point in the series to say, look, guys, it's the greatest power play in history. If we can shut it down, we're going to win this series. And they were penalty killing their fucking asses off, man. Like, you can't deny that, like, they, to my eye at least, they were penalty killing better against that Oilers power play, which is just like a nuclear bomb, better than like anyone I've seen in a long time. And it fucking sucks, man. Like, the Oilers are a great, like, a fucking fantastic regular season team. You know, they were a tiny bit up and down. And it got, like, early on, I think they had moments, but all told, you know, Vegas was also a really great regular season team. And I think their playoff, their team seemed to have, like, a playoff style that was more, that you wouldn't be, like, you wouldn't be foolish to predict might be more successful in a short series. Although, you know, really the Oilers are right there with them. Like, even in the last period of this game, as much as we all were feeling really despondent, you know, we all knew still the Oilers, they could still come back. I mean, Draisaitl was a chance machine, through the playoffs pretty much the whole time. It got a little quieter at the end, but like, I feel like he probably was like probably suffering the effects of some fucking injuries, I would bet. I wouldn't be surprised if Connor has a little something. I mean, it sucks, man. It sucks. It sucks to cheer for a team that is so good and has the two best players in the world, plus like all these other amazing players that are on the team now. You know, the amazing Ekholm deadline acquisition is just this like kind of keystone thing. The emergence of Bouchard. You know, he had a great playoff. I don't know, man. I'm not gonna feel too bad about it because the universe is full of all kinds of opportunities to feel joy and experience the sublime, you know? Oilers hockey is one of them. I certainly experienced many profound moments of great joy and much of the sublime in my time watching the Oilers this season. But I don't need to watch the post-game interviews tonight. I'll do that tomorrow or the next day. I don't need to think about the salary cap. You know, I don't need to think about this or that or lay blame. Like, I mean, that's the funny thing is, like, one thing about Oilers fandom is, like, people don't want to just say, you know what, Vegas outplayed us and they played really well. And the, and we're a really good team and Vegas is a really good team and they outplayed us in a short series here and they shut down our power play the last few games and, you know, played better 5-on-5, played better in the second period, shut games down a little bit better, et cetera, et cetera. And we got a lot of great players and it's really easy to be excited about. I mean, like, I love our depth players right now, too. But I'd like, maybe we all kind of got caught up a little bit so much in how great our team was, and we've just kind of all chosen collectively to ignore that Vegas was also a really good team. I don't know, man. Then the Petrangelo business, NHL player safety. I mean, it wasn't really the funnest series, I'll say that. But, you know, in a weird way, too, like, Is this easier to handle or harder to handle than the Colorado elimination? I don't know. I guess time will tell. I don't know. Maybe it's also just that I'm dying to get onto my summer projects. And also, I'm going to tell you the fucking God's honest truth, folks. So I live in this building downtown in Vancouver. Beautiful West End. Love it. My favorite neighborhood in the city. But it's the building was built in the 50s and has a boiler heater system. And they're not turning... Okay, I think someone just fell over in the next room. They're not turning the heat off until, like, the end of the month. And it's like, dude, it's like fucking Cool Hand Luke in here. I'm fucking Cool Hand Luke and not, like, I'm not even Paul Newman. I'm just me experiencing the Cool Hand Luke treatment in the hot box. Like, it's crazy. Like, as much as it's hard to deal with the disappointment right now. One thing that's really helpful is, I mean, I'm really dying to just stand up and get the fuck out of this room and go for a little walk, and that's going to be really nice. So that's going to be a big fixture of my summer routine. Nature, going out to nature every day should be treated the same as breathing. You should treat going out and seeing some green, some blue, you know, some water, some sky, some whatever the fuck else. That should be treated with the same attitude as, like, the necessity to breathe and convert protein into muscle energy. Anyways, so I'm looking at the Oilers fans AI. So we actually created 5,700 individual artificial intelligences based on, we trained them using stolen consciousnesses from various Oilers fans, past, present, and future. Very unethical. That's something we did before we had the health and safety robot here. They never would have approved that. But anyways, we brought all these artificial Oilers fans into existence just for this game alone. So we're looking at them. Yeah, how you guys doing? Yeah, they're all saying it's too soon. Too soon. Seeing a lot of heads shaking. A lot of sadness. Oh, one of them just shut down on its own accord. Damn. Maybe we should have considered the ethical implications of bringing all those artificial intelligences into existence just to have them destroyed emotionally and mentally by this very sad and tough loss. You know what? Like, I still love this team. I love Dry. I love Connor. I love Nuge. I love High. I love Kaner. I love Clowder. I love Yams. I love Fogues. I love Tom Clancy's Derek Ryan. I love the verified Yanmark. I love Nick, the guy I'm still learning to spell his last name, Bukestad. Who am I forgetting? Who am I forgetting in the forward core? Let's see. Yeah, there's someone else in there I'm totally forgetting, and I apologize. Yeah, and then, you know, Ekholm. I think Ekholm's going to be a fucking great Oiler for the duration of that fucking contract. And I think the beginning of the Ekholm era is going to be really fun and interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Kenny Holland does, because, quite frankly, I actually think, and I almost didn't said I didn't want to talk about this, but I will say, like, no, I'm not even going to talk about it, whatever. We got all summer to deal with that shit, everybody. We got all summer to deal with that shit. You know, Calgary didn't even make the playoffs. We went deep into the second round, at least. Toronto got their big monkey off the back and got out of the first round and then basically got spanked in the second. We went to game six in the second round, so we got that over Toronto. We got that over Calgary. You know, there's probably no fucking, well, very few franchises out there that would not relish the chance to have our core. So, you know, just light a candle before you leave your 85 million degree room. Actually, maybe don't light a candle and then immediately leave the room. That's not really fire safe. When you're there, and as you watch it burn, light a candle and just be grateful for the core. Grateful for the core. We got a great core. We got a great non-core. I mean, that's another thing, too. It's not even just the core. It's our non-core. Like, where do you divide the line between the core and the non-core? That's a good question. Because to be hardcore, you have to live hardcore. And the legend of the rent was way hardcore. Anyways, I guess my point is, I'm recording this because for the 30 people that are going to listen to it, you might need a little cheering up. And hey, if you need a little cheering up, just message me, bro. You know where to reach me. You know where to reach me on the astral plane. You know where to reach me on Witch TikTok. You know where to reach me on Twitter. I'm on many platforms. Hopefully going to record with the High Priest soon. That should be fun. That should probably be like a fucking Neil Simon play where, like, a couple is basically, like, totally gonna break up, but they're, like, you know, struggling. I mean, I hate those kinds of movies, though, kind of. I mean, I love those kinds of movies pre-1999, I guess. At some point, it just, they stopped doing it well, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We got a long summer ahead, folks. We got a long summer ahead. Half the world's gonna burn down, so that'll be very... That'll be a spectacle if you need another spectacle to keep your eyes on. There's that. But, you know, like, embrace the summer projects. Get out into nature every day as though it's like breathing air into your lungs, you know? Reach out to your friends. Reach out to your loved ones. Reach out to the people that you don't love but who you merely like, who nevertheless enrich your life experience in whatever way. don't spend your energy shitting on Kyle Yamamoto, because Kyle Yamamoto is probably not spending his energy doing that to you. I mean, he doesn't know you, so it'd be really, really impressive, actually, if he did. So either way, yeah, I'm getting the, like, cut this shit out motion from the producer robot, so we'll cut it off there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another season of Handkerchief Dynasty / Night Rule / whatever the fuck this is. Don't despair, be aware, and be fair. Bye-bye.
Hi.